Okay, we're going to reconvene our regular meeting at 7:39. And Mr. Porter, would you lead us in a flag salute, please?
All rise. Hats off, right hand over your heart. Place the flag, please. Start. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comments. This is a time for members of the public to present comments to the board on items that are not on the agenda. I do not have any cards in reference to that.
Okay. With the yellow sheet.
That seems to be reflective. Not on the agenda.
Not on the agenda.
Did you want to speak to something that's not on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Very quickly, it's my understanding the Acton Town Council is going to have an opportunity for candidates for the school board election at 7 o'clock on Monday the 17th as part of their agenda. So the 7:30, there we go. So if anybody's interested in doing that, a lot of chatter at the about the election, hopefully not too much in the district office. Thank you.
All right, seeing no other cards, we'll move on to 8.0 correspondence and reports. AATA representative, anyone? 8.2 CSEA representative, seeing none. Student representative, we have them both, Trevor and Mallory.
I just want to take a moment and introduce Mallory Bush, who wasn't able to be here. Remember our first meeting of the year, and this was the first she was able to attend. I know you remember her credentials from before. She's highly qualified and outstanding representative from our school, and here she is finally to join us. Welcome, Mallory.
I just want to say thank you for this opportunity, and I'm very excited to be able to represent our school. I apologize for not being able to make the past few meetings, but I just want to do the best for you every time.
Thank you.
And do we have a report, Trevor? Or?
Yes.
You're up.
So I have, everyone on campus loves the beauty of the new school and the gym. They love the new teachers, love the size of the campus, and they love the students, how they're welcomed in. Girls volleyball, they're 4-2 in the league and ranked 14th in Division 6. The varsity boys cross country is in third with a score of 88 behind Mammoth, and varsity girls cross country is in second with a score of 60 behind Mammoth. That's like the whole team overall. The PSAT is next Wednesday. Homecoming is next week. And nominations are done this week and voted next week. Teachers are utilizing the Google Classroom more. They're looking forward to when all the Google Chromebooks are in and every student is able to use them. Everyone's looking forward to the opening of the new gym in November, as well as the athletic facilities on the upper pad next year. And as a football player and baseball player, we're looking at a little love goes to football and baseball field. You see in the CSU application nights went well. The counselors help the students calculate their academic GPAs to help out. Students are happy with the new website that was set up. They're looking for new ways to get the word out so that everyone's able to be able to go on it and see all the schools that are specifically scored in the district. Counselors have also visited all 9th and 11th grade classes twice as their proactive mental health program. Teachers have received more books, so students are able to help one at home, and teachers are able to help people set.
Statistics. Thank you.
I was going to ask him. All right,
thank you.
I do have a comment.
Mary.
Mallory and Trevor, I just wanted to put it out on the floor that don't feel that we're chasing you two out of here at 8 o'clock or 8:30. I've been on the board, I think, 9 years now, and I've seen many of the students come and go, and some of them like to stay till we're done. And in those days, it was sometimes midnight. Usually we're out of here by 10:30. And of course, if you have to go and study, we understand that too. But I just did want you to feel welcome, because I've had some student reps in the past express how much they learned about governing, politics, and stuff, for good, for better or worse. And anyway, just feel welcome to stay as late or as long as you want.
Thank you.
Or leave, you know.
As early as you want.
Yeah. I told you that, Trevor. So.
Trevor, real quick, you said that the SATs are the next Wednesday?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Anything else?
That's it, nothing.
Okay. Before we continue down,
are we going to do board member comments? Is that board member comments?
No. We haven't gotten
not there yet.
Before we go any further with 8.0, I see that there's a bunch of representatives here. So do you want to move that up on the agenda?
Yes, sir. I'd like to move up 12.1 to right now, if that would be okay.
Sure. And then we will come back to our 8 series. Okay, so with that, we will open up 12.1, a public hearing reauthorization of Assurance Learning Academy petition. And we will open the hearing at 7:46. Doctor, it's...
Yes, let me give you a little overview. And then I'll turn it over. This particular charter school is up for reauthorization. That means they're in their final year of authorization, which was previously a 5-year authorization. So this would take effect in 17-18, of when they would, obviously they're still in operation and still going, and we'll talk a little bit about a variety of different issues. But currently, tonight, is the first time we've reauthorized the school, and I think it's obviously monumental. I want to explain the process and the way it looks, meaning that... we have several other charter schools, as it's as you well know, but tonight it's a little bit different. We're going to go through the process just as if they were a brand new charter school. We want to vet it the way we typically vet it, with all of the elements and the associated matrix. You will getting a full-blown assessment of the charter school, the efficacy of which they run their financials, their education, et cetera, each and every one of the elements. You'll have a full gamut of information that will express to you what we believe this school produces. That will happen in the coming weeks. Tonight, it's not up for vote. Tonight is simply their presentation and to give us a little bit of information as to what they've been doing the last 4.5 years. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Hansen, Skip Hansen. Is the, what's your title now? You've changed a couple times, whatever you want to call it. Okay, but he pretty much runs things in every area. He's changed a couple times. But in this particular case, he's brought his team. I'll let him introduce his team. And then I'll make some comments at the end and kind of let you know what they've been doing in addition to what he may say. But then, of course, you have an opportunity to ask questions. Okay, and you can... ask questions to Skip or myself at any time. So, Mike, I know you have.
Yeah, I just want to process questions.
So sure.
I did ask the superintendent outside the meeting, would we be evaluating the petition in its entirety with our standard process, even though it's renewal? And you assured me you would. For better or worse, we have a track record with you, and we actually have a very thorough procedure for we just had those briefings end of last year.
We did.
For evaluating our schools each year. So in your guys' case, my expectation would be, besides measuring them against their renewal petition, that we also say, and here's what we learned about.
Absolutely.
Here was our scorecard on areas of improvement just from several months ago, and these are the concrete actions they've taken to address those. Because it would be, I believe, my vote should not just be based on what's in the paper, but with 5 years of track record and our own assessment that's only 6 months old, we should look and see how we're doing against it.
Well, we have 4 years of assessments that will produce for you.
But specifically, right, there's a 6-month old here where you need to...
Absolutely.
And so we should be saying, okay.
Yep.
Otherwise, that's not what the paper should.
Correct. Okay. It isn't just the petition. He's right. It's multi-pronged, if you will. Absolutely.
That'll be a question I'll have.
Okay. And obviously, I'm not prepared to produce those documents tonight. I have been working on them with Amanda. But ultimately, tonight is the hearing, to give him an opportunity to talk about the program, talk about the changes, of any changes, if necessary, in the petition, what it may look like in the coming months, what their assessment is. Obviously, hopefully you can feel that, for me, this is a fantastic partnership that we have with the district. And I'll outline some of the things that we've been able to forge in terms of our relationship and actually serving the kids and students in this community on a really deep level. So with that, Mr. Hansen, if you and your team would like to take it over. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen on the board. First of all, I want to thank you for serving on a school board. It's one of the, I think, the foundations of our entire education model, and it's important that we have folks willing to volunteer their time to come sit on the school board and listen to what we're talking about tonight. My name is Skip Hansen. I am one of the leaders here at Assurance Learning Academy. I have brought with me Dr. Pat Hill, who's in charge of our special ed, Jeff Martinville, who's actually the principal and chief educator for Assurance Learning Academy, and we brought our legal counsel specifically because if there was any questions regarding, since it is your first renewal, I thought if there was any questions, we have an expert that actually knows quite a bit about charters. I mean, their firm represented over 300 or 400 charter schools, so I can't remember what the count was. But we're going to start off with a quick movie about our program to remind you guys what it is that we do, and then I've got about 7 slides that should take us no more than 20 minutes total, and then open it up for some questions and answers. So I'll start with the movie, and then I'll come back up and we'll talk a little bit more about it. Thank you.
I didn't grow up in the happiest of households. I'd wake up in the morning not knowing if there was going to be food or if the electricity was going to be turned off later that day. With that kind of stress, it's really hard to do the amount of work that you have to do in high school.
I used to drink a lot, hang around with the wrong crowd, people in gangs and whatnot. I was very negatively influenced, so school wasn't a priority.
My freshman year, I found out I was pregnant. I didn't think I'd be able to continue school. I felt like I was just gonna have to stay home and take care of my daughter. And I was just really devastated.
There are millions of at-risk students in the United States. Once a student drops out, they'll be ineligible for 90% of jobs, twice as likely to live in poverty, and a staggering 8 times more likely to go to jail or prison. What began as an education problem quickly becomes an unemployment problem, an economic problem, a public safety problem. Communities pay the price, often for generations. If we want to have safer, more prosperous communities, it is absolutely critical that we interrupt the dropout cycle.
We started off as a school that catered to at-risk youth. Our founders didn't ever believe in giving up on anybody. And they began to have success story after success story. Once they walk those doors at Learn for Life, that's 50% of the journey. And then teachers, tutors, guidance counselors will aid them in the remainder of the journey.
For most students, the journey involves more than just educational challenges. Understanding this, Learn for Life was designed to remove all obstacles in the way of a high school diploma.
Sometimes stuff just happens that you can't control. Don't have a ride because you don't have any gas and you live far away. They didn't even try to help you. They didn't give you free bus passes. They've given me food because I told one of my teachers that I hadn't eaten in 2 days.
They let me bring my daughter every day to school and she would be right there while I was doing my homework or my test, so it really helped a lot.
I was too embarrassed to ask for that extra help. At Learn for Life, teachers, I felt like we grew a connection over time. I needed that connection.
Research shows that one-on-one connection with teachers has a very high success rate. Our approach is further enhanced with flexible scheduling competency-based progression, and education goal setting.
At Learn for Life, I can get to know the student right away. It's geared towards each individual kid.
One-on-one time is effective. The curriculum is extremely rigorous. The students have to become critical thinkers. They have to be analytical. They have to take their time. They have to want to learn.
The key is motivating them to want to do it themselves.
My teacher, he kept giving me this just supportive comments, you know, oh, you're a smart kid. Keep trying. You're a smart kid. You could do it. My confidence started building. I guess little by little, I just started changing.
Alan was talking to me about hanging out with the wrong crowd. And I talked to him about taking smart risks.
And that's what I've just been doing, taking smart risks, a risk that maybe it's not, kind of gets me out of my comfort zone, but it's beneficial in many ways.
I see the teacher as like a life mentor or a coach. We try to make their learning applicable to prepare for the future.
We don't stop at high school, whether it be a trade school, culinary school, they want to be a mechanic, they want to go to UCLA, we make it happen.
The Cisco Lab is IT Essentials. It ends with a certificate that will be my key to getting into the IT world. Earning potential is really great.
We have created CTE programs that are allowing students to pursue vocational schooling as well. Agriculture, technology, computer literacy class. These are classes that you would not see in the traditional high school setting.
Every step of the way, we inspire students to focus on the value of graduation.
The day I turned in my last credit, that was the best thing to me. And my dad had picked me up, told him I got my diploma, and he was so proud of me because he didn't think I could do it either.
These are students who have fallen in the cracks of education and feel that they can't learn, and we turn that all around.
Every time a student has completed their final credit, their supervising teacher, the teacher that's guided them through the entire process, has the honor and privilege of picking up the bell, and we ring it vigorously because they are finally and officially done with high school.
Okay, I'd like to announce to everybody that we have a new graduate, Vanessa Cerna.
It's a symbolic moment of every obstacle they had to overcome to earn that piece of paper.
That's what makes me proud to be a teacher at Learn for Life, because when they walk across that stage, that piece of paper means something. They've earned that grade.
Good evening. My name is Elizabeth Hymens. I'm glad to be a part of the graduating class of 2015. There was a point in my life where I thought I wouldn't be able to complete high school because I received some news that I knew would change my life forever. I was pregnant at the age of 14. I've gained responsibility, maturity, and a daughter who makes my life worth living. She is my motivation to be the best person I can be, and I want her to know that she can do anything if she tries. Graduating from high school is not the end. It's only the beginning to a successful life.
Elizabeth Hyman.
The graduation, they have these roses that you give out to a person who helped you out. And Mrs. Geary, she helped me out a lot. She deserved that rose.
Miss Geary.
Aww. Oh my goodness, you like to cry?
I couldn't have done it without you.
There's been so many miracles that have come through these doors that we've touched thousands of students. But each one is an individual truly treasured and leaves a mark on a teacher's heart. A special way. I'm very proud of Dasset, especially.
Knowing that this diploma is going to open doors for me and my daughter, that's what felt great. If I hadn't come back to Learn for Life, I'd probably be on the streets or probably in jail somewhere.
Before coming to Learn for Life, I felt like I didn't have a future. I would have ended up most likely in jail or possibly dead.
I would not make it through public school. I would wash right out. Learn for Life completely changed my story from being a tragedy to a success story. I'm expecting to graduate June 2016. I'll be starting with an entry-level IT job, around $32,000 a year.
I'm excited to start college and I want to be a registered nurse.
I'm working on my degree, fire technology. I volunteer at a drug counseling program for teenagers. Learn for Life guided me to change the story of my life.
I'm planning on going to college. I want to take up business. Learn for Life changed my whole story. They changed my path.
These are just a few of the tens of thousands of students Learn for Life has helped to change the story they thought was already written. We're expanding rapidly to change the lives of many more.
Anybody who's looking to make a better world, invest in Learn for Life. That's a smart risk. That's somewhere that's going to help not only the students, but the future, because they are the future. We are the future.
So, Sheriff's Learning Academy, our motto is Learn for Life. We've got to figure that out. We believe every student has a dual meaning. Not only do we learn for our entire life, but in the case of many of our kids, these kids actually learn for their lives, literally. First of all, I want to say thank you, guys. 5 years ago, I stood in front of you folks, and you had a lot of questions for me. There was were we your first charter?
You actually, charter, yeah, you were.
The first one, yes. And Brent and I had a conversation about what it is that your folks were going to be doing as a district. And I was just blown away. At that time, I think we had like 8 charters at the time. I think we're up to a little over 15 or 16. The reason why so many is we cover the whole state. We go from Sacramento all the way down to San Diego. In our world of non-classroom based charter schools, I think that's a different slideshow. In our world of non-classroom based, we leapfrog counties in order to get to the next county to serve kids. So we serve all the students in LA County through this charter. And when I spoke with you last time, it really was an opportunity for us to kind of pick a district that actually got what it meant to actually provide oversight and do a good job helping us be successful. We were not at that time, we were not guests. We already had a track record of going on 10 years. You guys asked a lot of questions about our past and some of our successes. The one thing that you have to remember, and you saw in that program, that our model, which is unique to probably any of your other charter schools, is our goal as a school, as an insurance learning academy, is to get kids on track to graduate with the district that they came from. So let me say that again. We are focused on taking kids who are behind severely in credits, bringing them into our program where year-round, we allow them to catch back up. That young lady, in that case, was probably already over the age of 17, but if she had been 14 and got pregnant and had to drop out of school, she'd take 9 to 12 months off, and she'd already be out of her box at her regular high school. She tried to go back, she'd be in a different box, and where would they put those kids in a continuation school? And they're full. And that's why the kids are dropping out. She does not want to go back to a school that are meant for bad kids, or typically kids are having more trouble. She could make good grades. She had something in a life circumstance come about, and it meant that she got off track. This year we have 30,000 of those kids off track coming to our programs up and down the state. And it just goes to show you that the kids are out there. We have yet to open a resource center and not have kids show up. They're just there. We can run, and you asked me this question 5 years ago, how do you know you're going to open up the center and be successful? All we have to do is run the dropout figures for the local high school there, and it's not high school's fault. I mean, Allen Valley High School District or Hart or any of the other places where we have centers, it's not their fault. They have kids that are just having things that interrupt their life that we didn't have growing up. No parents, they become parents, bullying, it's just, it goes on. Gang, I don't know what gang was when I grew up in Allen Valley. Now there's a little over 19 identified gangs in the streets that they can't cross. So we explained that problem five years ago and said, this is why we know we're going to be successful. The kids are there. We're asking you as a board to say we believe in your mission and you want to support us as a charter school. We have a lot of tough questions. How do we know you're not going to take our kids? I think was one of the questions. We worked that out. We made you comfortable that our method and our programs aren't here to take kids that are in a district doing good things for kids. Now, that being said, we had a few kids that you guys identified and said we want to help. I'm sure Brent will talk a little bit about that. So it is a partnership. We do want to help with any student who falls through the cracks, as you saw in those videos. Those are actual kids. That picture right there is actually your resource center that you sponsor, Assurance Learning Academy. It sits over in Lancaster, California. It's a fantastic program, and it has some of the top job training programs in the state. So that was the other thing I talked to you about 5 years ago. We had been focused for 10 years on finding them and educating, getting a high school diploma. But we were still losing 25-30% of our kids back to the streets. And when we asked the kid, why'd you leave? It was the same common theme. I had a long said I had to get a job. It's sad. Because typically our age range content for our school starts about 17, goes up to 22. That's the range that we serve. So, you know, you can imagine this kid who gets enrolled in our program, he's doing well, he's doing his credits, he's got 112 credits, he needs 220 to graduate, he's 19, and he's got a full-time, job with a baby at home, he's trying to do his thing, and mom is just tired of it, I don't want you out of the house. So we realized right away we had to come up with some other carrots, we had to start giving these kids the opportunity to get a job skill while they were in high school, like we did. When I went to school, right, they had a mechanic shop out in the fourth quarter, out in the far end of the school. They had all kinds of different opportunities for kids who just weren't ready to go off to college and might want something different. I'm a firm believer in that not every kid is meant to go to college. Now, we're talking college the moment they walk in. 40% of our kids are going off to a JC or some other type of second level institution. But there's a lot of kids that just are not going to do that. And so we want to prepare those kids for. So that is our purpose and what Assurance Learning Academy does. Just a little bit about our success rate. There's some sections in the charter that we presented, but I gave you copies of the slides. And we have about 25% of our kids at the school returning back to their school district. And why is that important? Well, most school districts that are upset with charter schools are typically upset because they're taking their best kids. You hear that all the time. You guys take all our best kids. And that's usually about money. It has nothing to do with what's right for the kids, right? Because they didn't take them. Those parents chose a different option. That's what this is all about, is parental choice. You guys believe in it. Not only do you believe in it, you live it. And what you've done as a district in becoming one of the few districts in the whole state that said, you know what, we're going to have this law available that said, we're going to hear charters and we're going to provide good oversight. So you guys already know it. But you guys actually have some issues, obviously, with neighbors and that sort of thing. We are the one kind of school that actually brings revenue back to a high school district that we have a resource center for. The kids that we returned back, that 25%, were gone. That was lost ADA. That kid at 16 or 15 who dropped out is not coming back to their school because they're behind on credits and they don't have a system to make those back up. The reason I know that, we've been doing it 15 years. If they did, they'd be going back to that district. But a few districts that have tried to start up credit recovery programs, but guess what? Where do the kids not want to go back? They don't want to go back to the four walls of the campus while they're in a continuation school, and that's typically where they put those kids. So we're sending back 25% of those kids, and then we retain another 62%. Our mission, again, is not to actually get these kids and have us graduate. We want them to go graduate with the friends that they left at the school. Many times they come through us at 17 or 18 behind 60 to 80 credits with fifth grade reading level is what the average is. What are you going to do with that kid? We talked to you 5 years ago about what that was causing our communities and this state in terms of costs. We handed you a report that was done by us, the RAND Corporation, about what dropouts are costing the state of California. It was $270 billion. What it's costing. Our incarceration rates are skyrocketing. 70% of our inmates are dropouts, and we're putting 30,000 of them out of the system to get them away from that incarceration. $65,000 a year to incarcerate, but we can put them in a program like ours and get those kids a high school diploma and job training and get them into not only the 21st century workforce, but also become better citizens as what we're really trying to do. We want better 21st century citizens. And a lot of what we'll talk about, if you have any questions, is what we do with those kids while we have them. Sure.
Can I ask a question on the slide?
Before? Yeah, please.
So the 938 is within the Learn for Live ALAs that we chart.
Correct.
And you said that, that was the Lancaster Center. Is there another center?
We have multiple centers. I believe we have four or five under assurance that you guys actually sponsor. So we have one in Lancaster. Where are those? Yeah.
We have one in Los Angeles, South Central Los Angeles. We have Harbor City, Wilmington. We actually have a small campus right at your district office.
Yeah, I know about that. Okay, so that's the five or six. And our charter that together come up with 938.
That's correct. Let me talk about why we have multiple resource centers, right? Why you have to have more? Well, we go where the kids are. We have kids that leave our program, leave your center here, and then go somewhere else. The center that you talked about in Harbor City is a Boys and Girls Club. We're in a Boys and Girls Club. That's a center for us. We have a mobile learning center in one of our schools. We take a trailer out to the fields in Central California where they have kids picking in the fields at 4 in the morning, and they can't get to a school, so we bring school to them. And are we cherry picking? We're taking kids literally that are in the fields and have no chance at a high school diploma, and we're bringing school to them. That's why we're very popular. I'll show you a slide with the state superintendent coming to visit us. The other piece that they always talk about is you guys don't take the kids that are the tough kids. You're only taking the white kids or the smart kids. You don't take any special ed kids. That's the constant theme we hear about charter schools. As the slides show, first of all, our ethnicity, it's a makeup of where we are, right? If we're in South Central LA, even the Antelope Valley, we have a high Latino population. And we're not advertising in, Forbes magazine. Our ads and how we get our kids is on the buses, the trains. We advertise at usually EDD buildings, any place where there's foster care. We're going after the kids. Common theme is how you get the kids. Well, we spend a lot of money in advertising in order to let these kids know there's choices. Most of these kids will tell you at graduation when they do their speeches, I was sitting on a bus, thought my life was over, and I looked up and I saw an ad and it changed my life. And that's the motto, learn through life, we change your story. 15% special ed population and a very high ELL population, obviously because of the areas in which we serve kids. I talked 5 years ago about why we will be different than any of your other charter schools, and one of them is our accountability with the state of California. There are 1,000 ASAM schools in the state. Now, an ASAM school, alternative school accountability model, not something we made up, and it's not for charter schools. It's actually geared for continuation schools and court-based schools. The state knew when API came about, No Child Left Behind, that there were going to be a certain number of schools that were never going to meet an 800 API. Because of the type of population we serve, the mobile population. You saw the enrollment there at 900, but we'll have 2,000 kids come through our school doors during the year because some will only come for 3 months to make up some credits and right back out. And in that churn, you can't calculate a dropout rate because it's meant to calculate from September to May and all the kids that started and ended with graduation. So you might see 1,000 kids come through there and you say, well, your dropout rate is 90%. Well, that's not accurate. Because we're serving a dropout recovery program. So when the state came up with the ASAM program, it was specifically designed for schools like ours. And those categories that you see right there, 70% of our students make up one or more of those categories. And you can tell it's the kind of kids that we're trying to help. And if you're a citizen in this community or any community where you have a school or a resource center, you can't help but want to have a program like ours helping kids like this. Because we're not helping them. They're in crime, they're doing drugs, they're doing something in their community. So we are very, very popular with mayors, city council. We're at every chamber of commerce meeting that you can imagine where we're in because we want to let people know we exist so they have kids that fit one of these categories, we can help them. You know, one thing I've stood in front of many board members over the last 15 years, I've done personally about probably 15 renewals. A lot of times, board members struggle if they haven't had the opportunity to come visit. You asked about the matrix and said, well, gosh, you know, I have to judge you by this documentation that you give campus, and that's a tough thing for board members to do. So I look at WASC as another opportunity for you to know that other educators, not picked by us, picked by the Western Association of Schools and Association, they assemble a panel of other administrators and teachers to come to our school and evaluate what we're doing as a program. And it's a pretty tough process. You know, they sit there for 2 or 3 days, they ask a lot of questions, they ask to talk to our board, they want to see everything that you're looking at in our petition. It's a grueling process. If you guys probably know it better than anything as you go through WASC. And we received our accreditation right away. They came in, and then some of the comments that you see there on the right, highly qualified teachers, governance and cooperation, leadership maintained. I mean, we're doing the right things, guys. You asked me, Mark, I think at the very beginning, hey, just don't embarrass us. You know, we're trying something here. We want to make sure we have a good partner. And I told you we would. We know what we're doing. This isn't our first rodeo, and I think we'll make you proud. Not only because we're going to do a good job as a charter school, but we're going to help a lot of kids. A lot of charter schools have 200 or 300 kids. We're helping a couple thousand kids just through your program alone, and kids who really need it. So what I view the WASC as is another stamp of approval by a third party, in addition to our independent auditor who audits our program every year. And we've gone through 5 years without a single audit exception, which is pretty difficult to do in the charter school business. So it's another entity right there that's helping you understand exactly what we do. This is important because we made a commitment to the next part of a student's life, and that is, what are they going to do after graduation? We knew we had to have another carrot. We knew there was something that we had to do in terms of job training, but it's expensive. You know, to put together programs that far left corner, the Cisco Lab, I'd invite all you board members to come out and see one of our schools. There's one right here in Lancaster. It has a giant Cisco Lab, and that's a beautiful facility where the kids actually get intro to two different courses. When they graduate from the course, they go take an A-plus certification. We pay for it, and they can go get a job at pretty much any Best Buy, Geek Squad, anywhere. It's a very, very good career path for kids, and we're putting them through the program. The state of California, Tom Torlakson, one thing that I love about what he wanted to do in the state is he wanted to bring career technical education to the state. He got a bunch of federal money, and he started putting out grants. At 8 grants for the state, for the entire state of California. There were 1,000 applicants, and we got 2 of them. One of them at Assurance, and another one at one of our schools in San Diego. Out of 1,000 applicants in the state of California, competing with every school district, some of them LAUSD included, and they decided to give it to Little Assurance Learning Academy right here out of Acton, because they saw in what we were doing that we had a vehicle that actually make this work and do it for kids that they were trying to get this to. And that's important because they have a lot of schools that wanted it, but some of them sitting in more affluent areas, and others that they weren't so confident they were going to be able to implement the program. So we're already a couple years into that grant, and it is a huge success with our kids. I'd love for you guys to come out and see it. We have a print shop that your school runs. It's bigger than this building. It produces shirts and hats. These kids get out of there with the knowledge of how to run a large format printer, a silkscreen machine. I think there's 50 different devices in that particular location. And they start on the front end with computers, so they learn how to go to Photoshop and Premiere. And then they come on the back end and actually get their physical, hands-on learning this, and they walk right out of there with a skill set that when I went off to college, had I had it, I could have gone to hitting one of the 1.5 million print shops in the U.S. and got a job, not a minimum wage, but at 15, 20 bucks an hour, and they're out there. So it's a great opportunity for a student to walk out literally with a skill set they can walk right in and get a job with. It's the last one, I think. The reason I put this up here is, again, I think it's another thing as a board member just to make sure that you know that we have a lot of eyes on us in this district just because of the fact that you guys are pioneers in chartering and authorizing. Tom Torlakson only visited a handful of schools, the whole year, charter schools, and he visited 2 of ours, and one of them was yours. sitting in also in one of your Assurance Learning Academy, that particular facility. He was so blown away by it. We're actually going to see him next Thursday, the 19th, to present him an award. But he is calling us saying, I need you guys to put a program in Modesto and Stockton. He's not a fan of charter schools. He's a fan of what we do. Because there's no doubt what we do is important for the state of California on two sides of the equation. One, it's the right thing to do for kids. But if you think about it, the governor's two largest pieces of the budget are incarceration and education. Every dollar they spend on incarceration is taken away from what he is trying to do, which is bring more money to schools. And if we've got 30,000 kids that we're pulling out of the incarceration pipeline at the tune of $60,000 a year to incarcerate, it's not too hard to figure out if we are successful expanding even further across the state and get to 100,000 to 200,000 kids, that that budget on the other side of the equation is going to do nothing but get bigger, and it's the right thing to do. We're putting a lot of kids out there. Plus, those kids are going to go out and become tax producers for the state instead of drains through social services and everything that goes with it when you don't have a high school diploma. Unless you come from a family where your mom and dad didn't graduate from high school, it's kind of hard to understand what it is to not have a high school diploma minimum in the state. You can't get a job at McDonald's or Walmart. And you can't go join the military. So there's a lot of things out there that we're doing that's very unique. I don't have a slide for it, but I want to bring up one other point. We partnered about 5 years ago with federal workforce investment programs. We have over 50 partnerships now with federal programs, and workforce investment started something like 60 years ago. I think it was FDR's program, and that was the idea was to get people back to work. They have literally, in this state, hundreds of millions of dollars. They hand out to local, what they call WIOA boards. There's one in LA County and one in just about every county in the state. That money then gets funneled down to other nonprofits, and those nonprofits put together grants that say, we're going to train 100 kids in our market, which might be South Central LA, on how to be street sweepers or how to be auto body shop attendants. And they take about $5,000 a kid and they spend 2 years trying to get them a credential, and that's what the program does. When they leave the workforce investment program, the requirement of the vendor or the nonprofit is that they walk out of there with a certificate that they can go get a job with. However, and one of the requirements the state requires in order for them to keep getting that grant money, and that is that the student get a high school diploma or a GED. And they were struggling with that piece. And they found us, who was a no-brainer. We do it for free. They weren't going to have to pay for it. And it wasn't a GED. It was actually a program that got them a high school diploma. And, which I did talk about a little bit, what makes our program unique, and I told you this 5 years ago, why are you different than anybody? We cater a schedule around high school to the student. Student can come 2 days a week. That's all they can come because of jobs. We fit a program around 2 days a week. They can come three, great. The minimum, obviously, is we have them once a week, usually for the whole day. We have tutoring Monday through Friday free for these kids. They have an appointment. It isn't classrooms. It's literally they sit with their teacher. They have a minimum of an hour with the teacher. And then we have labs all around the outside where they go get additional instruction. And that's what a day looks like when a kid comes in. Appointment. They walk in, they check in with the front desk, we fingerprint them in, they go sit with their teacher, they go over last week's work. We call it a university model. When we were in college, saw the professor for an hour, what do? We got home, figured out how to get homework done. That's what these kids have to do. And they do it at the 235 hours a week worth of homework. And that's what we've been doing for 15 years. And that's what most non-classroom-based schools do in the state of California, including homeschool programs. So we're doing something very unique in terms of a model, and that's what the WIOA programs like, because many of their students already had adult responsibilities, so we had to give them something that was catered to a kid who still needed to go learn an auto body shop, but couldn't go 5 days a week and still needed a high school diploma. So that's it. We want to thank you very, very much for this journey of 5 years. I hope you're proud of us. We're very proud of Brent and staff. I can tell you, we have, 17 other authorizers. We have a single authorizer that has visited all of our centers more than once in a year, put together the types of matrices that you have just to make sure that all the dots, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. It's important because you do have some folks out there in other districts handing out charters. They don't even see them. and it puts a black eye and it makes it difficult for folks like you who are actually doing the right thing, and they don't get it. And I think you guys already had a little dose of that when the governor's office came out and wanted to see what you, I think they were blown away. I think anybody who comes in and wants to say, you guys aren't doing your job, the proof's in the pudding, guys. We have documentation. So you've come out, seen our sites, you've done the due diligence to make sure we have a safe environment for our kids. That's all we ask as an authorizer, is that you let us do our job and make sure that we're not missing anything. Certainly over the course of 5 years, there might be something that we missed, and you guys say, hey, you might want to do this. Did you think about that? Many times, it isn't a punitive thing, it's actually suggestions. You guys have an entire district at your disposal with a lot of people that have a lot of incredible ideas. We get a lot of feedback, and vice versa, about things that might help us be better educators out in the field, especially with the population that we're working. It's been an incredible partnership. I hope as a board you're proud of us. I know it was a chance you took on us. It's your first charter. It's an award-winning charter. Obviously, we've got a grant. That's a big, big deal. We've had just about every congressman, politician out to see it. We do a very good job from a marketing standpoint to make sure that people are happy with what they do. And as far as all the other stuff that's going on out there with, you know they're upset because you're walking in other people's territories, I say this, and I think you guys did this 5 years ago. I believe it was a letter, I can't remember if it was you, Mark, who wrote to the Hart School Board when they were trying to see you guys, or whatever district it was, neighboring here, and it is this, that you're here for kids, right? You don't care about politics. If a program is put in front of you and the state of California requires you as a board to evaluate a charter that sits in front of you, that you have no control of who's going to present to you, and you believe that and that's what state law says, that you believe it's going to be successful, you have no choice but to approve that charter. The only reason that you wouldn't would be something political or something that you actually just had something in your own belief that it just wasn't the kind of school you could do. I think you're doing exactly what the state intended. I will tell you this, we're in other states. In most states, they have alternative authorizers. If you think about it, having a school district approve the charter where they're going to have a program in their district that might take kids away is the fox guarding the hen house. I think most states realized that a long time ago, that that's just not the best scenario. In Ohio, they have other nonprofits that have to go through a whole bunch of training, and then they actually become an entity that can approve charters. It's another way of looking at it. I think they tried it in the state a few times, but I just want to say you guys do a great job. Your staff does a great job. I know it's helped you as a district, and I certainly hope it's been a positive experience with Assurance Learning Academy. Thank you very much. I'll open it up to any questions. I have some staff here to answer if you have any.
Let me expand just a little bit. I think Skip did a really good job. I think he got about 99% of it. The reason is, I think from my perspective, yes, feels like forever, but it's been almost 5 years that we've been in partnership with ALA. Originally, he made some valid points in terms of what our thinking was 5 years ago. And I think our levels of sophistication around how we can utilize charter school for our kids in this community has grown exponentially. And by that, let me give you some examples. At first, you know, we really kind of, you know, tried to figure out where we fit and how we can operate together. And one of those things we found originally was the opportunity program in this district was just horrific. If you remember where they were at the park, they were, I won't go into details, but it wasn't pretty. And the fact is they are now our partner and servicing as our opportunity program. And they take our kids, obviously, and service those kids with the intent of, it's a permeable membrane. It isn't you go off to ALA and you never return. They go to ALA, they catch up on their credits, whatever that may be, and then they end up coming back to Vasquez, and the intent is to have them graduate with TIE. So that's one program that has been fantastic. You never have heard one issue since they've taken over the opportunity program. I haven't, so I don't believe any of you have ever brought anything to me as well. It used to be almost a daily, if not weekly, occurrence over there. Secondly, we're talking about our expulsions are very, very low. We're lucky, not lucky, I shouldn't say that. We're unfortunate if we have one a year, if that. Sometimes two at the most, most times zero. But that is an opportunity for our kids to now stay local. They don't have to go down below. They don't have to go up to Antelope Valley. They're serviced on site at Acton in this program, and that's a viable alternative. Obviously, yes, they serve their time of a year, then they come back, and we'll see how that looks as time goes on. But currently, the intent is obviously, once again, go back to Vasquez High School and finish their diploma, if so approved. The other thing is that we found very beneficial. We were able to utilize their services through a continuation school. Many of our kids, we don't have one in this district. Most high schools have a continuation program. What is that? I fall behind in credits. I don't get enough credits. I have too many Fs. I only have X amount of credits below where I should be. We send them over to ALA oftentimes, and we put them in a program that helps catch them up quickly because they can do more than 30 credits in a semester. We have a maximum of 30 credits per semester. They can do more. So they can catch up, and then obviously, yes, we send them back. The other thing is that we've been able to partner with ALA, and this is a fiscal piece that I think needs to be brought out, is summer school. At one point in time, and I don't have the numbers before me, at some point I might be able to produce those, the summer school cost us money. We had to produce teachers, we had to pay teachers, we had to open the lights and turn on the air and all those things. It cost us to do that. Not only does it not cost us a dime to run summer school anymore because they run it, we actually now share in some of the profit from that, if you will, or the money that we get in terms of apportionment from those kids. So in this particular case, because we are leasing facilities, they lease those facilities from us, and they employ our teachers. So it's a win-win in that particular case, and that has reduced our encroachment as well. And the last thing is, I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity. I've been in probably all of the ones down in some of the ones we haven't authorized, but every one of the schools we've authorized, I've visited on multiple occasions, whether it be with Skip or with some other folks or in a variety of different things. And every time I see marked growth, I would encourage you to go and take a look at those schools. You'll be blown away. I'd love to have my kid visit some of those schools and see some of the opportunities they have and some of the certificate programs, which you know, we're on the verge of bringing those programs to this district as well. Those are key and critical, and you've heard it from our parents over and over again. They don't just want college prep, AP, et cetera, credits, A through G stuff. Yes, that's important, and we're going to keep that. We're going to expand it. We're going to emphasize it. But we also need programs that put kids to work in a viable situation. They're doing it currently. We're developing that. We're learning a lot from them and sharing that information back and forth. So again, as a partner, I consider ALA and Skip and his staff a cornerstone of what we're building in this district. And they clearly have not only helped us educationally and financially and all those things. And we what our thinking and the possibility, it's grown in such a way we're now clear partners with them. They are part of our district. They've grown to be an integral part of our district, and I'll hope you'll strongly consider reauthorization in this particular case. I'll show you everything as we go through the process and we vet this particular petition. It will be complete, Mr. Fox, I can assure you of that, but I wanted you to hear some of the programs and things that we've been able to forge a relationship with Skip and his staff. And I can tell you it's second to none in any of our charters that we have. So with that, any questions of the board?
I don't have any questions. I wanted to make a comment to expand on what you said, is that if you look on page 15 of their charter proposal, the renewal, they discuss their formal partnership with the Neola Energy Adjustment, which is the Workforce Innovative Opportunity Act. It is the exact same program that we're also trying to homegrown and generate here through our broader partnerships with community collaborative and pathways to bring that educational track to our kids. And I say this to community members all the time. Even before they address the issue, I address it before they get to it. It's great that you're being the savior of mankind and that you're helping this charter school educate at-risk kids from Northern to Southern California. And certainly there's a lot to be said for that. But I have always indicated that any partnership we have with our charter schools is to ensure that we are servicing our own kids here in Atanama Dulce. It's our kids that count as far as we are concerned as a school board and a school district. And if we can service thousands of other kids in the process, I look at that as a positive byproduct. But I'm talking about the kids that come to our school, and it's through what we can learn through ALA. It's through community collaborative. It's through pathways. We're talking about a multi-tiered collaboration of charter schools that is going to create that vocational track education program to address what parents keep saying here. When our schools were suffering and our high school wasn't where it should have been, all we heard about is how subpar your high school is. Of course we're not going to go there. Of course you have a 23% attrition rate. Because you don't offer a good program in high school. So what do? We invest time, we invest money and resources, and we bring that high school that is not just the facility, but the program that's within the facility, up to the point where then I had parents saying, well, you've got this wonderful academic program and you know, got kids. I think last year we had 50 of our 100 graduates going to major universities. And so the parents are now, well, that's great. You got all these AP courses, but that's not my kid. My kid wants vocational training. My kid wants to go onto a vocational track. Wants to be a welder. He wants to be in one of the trades. Okay? Considering the kind of money they make, I'm wondering if that's not the better option than going into debt. You've got people making $500,000 after 5 years of work, where the student is still in school, not working, and $500,000 in debt. So there's something to be said about it. And our effort here has been to bring that extra component here. And so frankly, I get tired of hearing about money grabs and you're in it for the wrong reasons and it's never going to work. For all the PhDs on the planet, for all of these supposed great educators, and that's what they do, and they're educational specialists, they seem to miss the point. What we're doing here, I've been called Booker T. Washington and other things for trying to address a program, a big program, to do more than a little box of education where every school district minds its own business, doesn't work with each other, doesn't share resources, doesn't do anything, and produces mediocre graduates. And I think what we're trying to do here is bigger than that. And notwithstanding going through our due diligence of looking at a rating matrix and doing all the things that we should do to make sure that we do our due diligence, I flip through your book. I see that you've met the 16 elements. You've addressed each one. I browse through the fact that you have your LCAP plan, okay, and the attachment of measurable outcomes. So, you know, you're hitting on the broad points you need to hit on. But the bigger picture here is with dwindling resources and funding issues, it seems to me that we should be collaborating. School districts should be working with charter schools as force multipliers to improve educational opportunities and work in partnership with each other instead of breaking out the shotgun every time somebody crosses the border and says, well, we'll educate our own kids. You go away and you go do something else. I think that is myopic, and I don't think it holds water in today's reality. So I still have to make sure that we go through this step. It is important for us to do our due diligence to make sure you are where you need to be. But the reality of it is as a policymaker, all I have seen is a concept of collaboration coming to fruition. And we need to continue to work to have the same level of collaboration with all of our charters. So again, that we're serving as a force multiplier to be able to service our own kids. And ultimately, all of this effort, we're going to bring something to a 400-kid high school that a 4,000-kid high school cannot provide. And isn't that what we should be doing? Because our kids in this town deserve it. And so with all the discussion about what you do statewide and the fact that you're servicing statewide and you've got multiple authorizers, What we're concerned with is what we do here to our student population here, and are we meeting parent demand? We tend to forget parent demand. We get lost. The PhDs get lost. They're always busy opening new packages, and we're undoing. What do the parents want? What do the kids need? And this has given us an opportunity to do things that we have never been able to do and could have never done. There's no way through LCFF funding, through a lack of infrastructure and a lack of resources, that we could have ever provided.
No way.
So if people want to say that we're bad and we're evil and we're wrong, fine. As long as our kids are getting what they deserve, I don't think they should be punished because their parents happen to move into a small town and go to a small school district. Therefore, you will suffer as a result. It's nonsense. It's horrible public policy. And so we should be doing whatever we can to get over the hump, and I believe we have. So I want to make sure that that is on the record as it relates to not just the approval, the potential reapproval of assurance learning, but you know, our broader charter effort.
Absolutely.
Best time to say it, considering that we're in a public hearing. Any other board comments, feedback, questions for assurance learning?
No, thank you very much.
Okay.
First off, I wanted to congratulate you on your unique and significant accomplishment in the educational field. I think it's very impressive. Both my parents were teachers, and their words bring to mind a lot of what they were all about, which is kids and doing what we can to help them get their proper place in society and in the workforce. I loved your video. Very well done. I mean, hats off to whoever did that. And I think just the way that was written, if somebody can convey that type of writing to some of your kids, that's just very, very well done. And I was very impressed by the video. And some of the things that I will certainly factor into my decision are the things that Dr. Woodard just brought up. And I just want to repeat that to the community that you guys do act as our own continuation school, and we do not have a continuation school. Dr. Woodard said that we have very few expulsions, but there's other reasons also that kids leave, or they can't go through the regular or traditional high school setup. So for you guys to do that for us, that's a positive. And another thing is that you started last year, I believe, for the first time they ran our summer school program. I think that went very well, and that's another positive. So instead of spending money on summer school, we actually are into the black camp.
It's actually the third year they'll be running it in terms of summer school. Time flies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't believe it's been 5 years. That was 2011. And that they also leased some of our facilities. So thank you very much for your time today, and I was just very impressed with your.
Thank you, Andy. And I want to thank the staff. You know, I can't stress that enough. I know as board members, your job is to make sure that you pick a superintendent and they pick staff to do a good job. We're in a lot of schools, and we're not just the ones that we authorize, but we partner with a lot of school districts that we don't even get sponsored by. Riverside Unified, Hart, Simi Valley. The reason is because it's summer school a lot of times, and I get to see staff all over the state. We're sponsored in a lot of areas by some small school districts. It is a tough job. It's a tough job that you guys do with the type of resources you do. And you hit it right on the head, Mark. In a community where there's not a lot of LCAP money, you have neighbors encroaching on you with schools where your borders are a little, misshapen, and you have kids that have public choice. You know, they're gonna go to places where their parents think they have the best job. I just want to say, the ingenuity and the guts that you guys had to do what you did, I commend you. I wish more school districts to do it. You're on the front line. You're taking a lot of heat for it.
Right.
Stick with it. They may probably pass the law. I think our next governor, unfortunately, is not going to be as pro-charter as our current governor. He just vetoed two bills that would have put us in a real bind. What was it? The was 907, 607, I can't remember. It would have made our boards have to comply with government code 1090 and a couple other things that are typically required for elected officials. And if you've ever had a chance to meet any of our school board members, these are a lot of parents, a lot of people who don't have, you know, who just don't have the time. And if you're not elected, you're asked to serve. It's a much, it's like serving on my Little League board. You know, I wouldn't do it if I had to go through a chance. I might go to jail if I, you know, my brother-in-law was the carpenter, and he, you know, I didn't know it, and he was doing some work. There's all kinds of stuff that these charter schools are under an onslaught. The next governor, I don't think is going to be as pro-charter as from what we're hearing. We have a lot of folks that help us up in Sacramento. Gavin Newsom, some other names are thrown out, Chung. And what my fear is that they're going to just pass a law that says, you know, school districts like you can only sponsor three charter schools, you know, and somehow limit you guys. And so you've already got ahead of the game. And it is fear, folks. It's fear. You got superintendents who say, you know, these are my kids. We've heard that in Rosemont, down in San Diego. Rosemont's upset because we've got 600 Chaldean kids in our El Cajon facility. Kids from Iraq who are coming to this country at 16, going into Rosemont. They can't speak the language. Rosemont couldn't do anything with them. I met with the five board members before we even went in there, asked permission, said, and they all said, you'd solve a problem for our Chaldean community that has no hope. These kids are dropping out at the tune of 90%. We come in there, we put a center up, it's 900 kids. They make a movie about it, Voices of Chaldean, wins the San Diego Film Festival Award. And then 5 years later, the president of that board signs his name to sue us, saying, we had no knowledge you were coming in, you're taking our kids, and it's all because they tried to put their own program together because they want to try and grab that money back. And it's silly. It's
no one's bunch of kids.
Yeah, it's the kids are... And we had protests, we did all that, but nobody cares. It's these particular board members are in it for the wrong reason. I love small towns. You guys do it for the right reason. Every one of our small districts, they know about our programs. They understand it. They're personal. We have some of our board members volunteering at our school in San Diego because they believe in our mission so much. So thank you again. I know you guys have a busy night. I just wanted to say thank you guys are Mavericks and keep it up. Brent, thank you very much for letting us. I know we're way over our time, but I really, really appreciate the opportunity to speak.
No problem.
Thank you so much. Public hearing is still on, and we do have a comment card from Mr. Salzgraf.
Ron?
Yes.
Perfect. With all due respect, there's banter going on back and forth. And some of this stems back, and please, you all don't take any of this personally. When we started this charter program, I was one of the people up here supporting it. And then we find out later that there's lawsuits and everybody's suing us. So I'm kind of left with the taste in my mouth. Either information wasn't shared with us, there was some naivety or something, but we're here now, right now. If I were sitting up there, I would have some questions. And those questions, a lot of the questions I have, were answered tonight by you all. The elephant in the room here is this. If we follow the legislature, I believe this school is being targeted by the auditor. And the school is being targeted by the auditor as a way to pry open the books of this district and two other districts that are doing this, just to get into the books. And so, how did that happen? Wherever we opened up a charter school outside of the boundaries, suddenly we have Senator Liu sicking the Legislative Audit Committee on us, correct? And then we have the five Newhall superintendents chasing down Paisley. And so now 71263, which is an odd number for this town, because it's either trying to shut your charter schools down or they're trying to take your water away, has morphed into 739. And now that veto is all based on the results of this audit. So, my comments are this. I like it that you tell us where your campuses are. Just where are the campuses? 1, 2, 3, 4, they're right here. I like it that that you showed the pictures that show where I come from in the Texas oil fields. There are a need for welders, and I know a lot of them that got wealthy doing it, that didn't have $50 million in student loans. So in the pictures, you're showing the vocational track. I can connect the dots on that. Okay, that made it really easy for me. OAH cases on you guys. Does anybody ever file? Good. The one thing I would suggest that you look at in your petition, the ACLU of Southern California, you're in a bad spot because you're either not identifying special ed students, and I'll accuse you of that, or if you have a pre-screening a process in which you ask people, do you have an IEP that we need to support? You can't limit that one. So check the language on that one. Finally, the last thing I have to say is, I would like it if someone would just come forward and say, what has been the net from how much the cut on the district is, and the oversight? Because I, in my math, based on what you get from each student, I don't think anybody's drowning in money on this charter. And so, at the end of the day, I think a lot of the things, the questions I've had, and my frustrations, can be really easily answered by saying, here's the money, here's the campuses, here's the students. But I really feel for you guys because the way that you're looked at and your successes cannot be the measurables that we see typically in public education, because you're not servicing the typical student. You're servicing someone that's coming in behind the eight ball. And being behind the eight ball is not the fault of this district. So I can support this and appreciate this. But when we go through other charters, I'm really, really wanting to make sure that we get away from something that's going to put the success. I'm not going to sit here and judge everything that everyone's done. We have money. We didn't have money before. And right now, the funding doesn't support small schools. So you took some chances. I applaud you on being transparent about the very simple things. Where are the campuses? How much money is there? And that's it. And I'm happy. So good luck, y'all.
A couple comments I want to make. There might be a suggestion there that we're not transparent. The books are there. The unaudited actuals are there. Where we draw our income from is all there. Anybody that has a hard time sleeping at night needs to get some material read to help them go to sleep. It's all there to be looked at. Okay. Ms. Falsbath mentioned the audit. There's been implication that somehow something must be wrong here. That it's a broader problem with our charter school paradigm because you're being audited. Okay. And that somehow there must be some skullduggery, some malfeasance, or something that's occurring there. So again, as a matter of this public hearing, as it relates to assurance learning, the fact is, and I don't expect you to say it, I don't expect the superintendent to say it, but I'm going to say it, okay? This is a legislature who is not in full agreement, okay? They're in a little bit of chaos, a lot of disagreement amongst the legislators in both the Assembly and the Senate about this. It's not like this is a monolithic group of people that feel that what we're doing here is wrong, okay? It's a few elected officials trying to mollify their rabid constituency that is so narrowly thinking, okay, that it defies their PhD, okay? And so when they go for audit, it is laughable to me that they want to examine what your record is in terms of your teaching and learning outcomes when you are clearly an ASAM model. And that it's just defies logic, and it just goes to show you where some legislators don't have a clue what they're doing. That it's a knee-jerk reaction to try and mollify a constituency, so they're going to put you under audit as if somehow you weren't in the alternative accountability model. Okay. That somehow you were teaching regular kids in a regular high school environment, which is not the case. Okay. And so, who knows what the audit will read and come out to be, but if it comes out the way I suspect, the auditors are going to be thinking, why are we wasting time doing this? Okay, this is a school district or a charter school, I should say, that should be immune from that review in large degree because of the model that you work under. Okay? And there's been no discussion on any level, either by the legislature or those who follow the legislature and report out on how the legislator's actions, via those actions, we must be doing something wrong, otherwise the legislature wouldn't be doing what it's doing. That's a ludicrous statement. It's a ludicrous opinion to take. The reality is that they're scared, and they can't understand the difference between looking at something that's wrong and distinguishing it from something that's different. And so I get a lot of entertainment value out of all the things that are done at that level, okay, to put you under audit and what have you. I will tell you as a single board member that my decision to reauthorize your charter will not in any way, have anything to do with that audit or the fact that you came under audit. That's a political thing. It is simply political. It is nothing but political. And it defies logic that you're even under audit. Now, when the audit comes out, if there's an issue or something wrong there, then we'll deal with it the way we always have. Okay? To fail to take a path because we're fearful that we might run into a bump in the road is not leadership. It's cowardice. So we'll deal with it, and if there's a hole, we'll pave it over and we'll keep moving forward. But I suspect when we get to where we think the hole in the road may be, it's going to be paved over already. And so I'm not even going to have that as part of my consideration. I'll be looking at what you do. I'll be judging you based on our matrix. And I'll also be judging you based on what you have already done and the benefits that we've had in front of this community. The fact that we have charter schools isn't the end game. It's the collaboration that's created and the sharing of resources between those charters is what the end game is. So in terms of the audit, I think it's a ridiculous notion, and it's for political expediency. And even the audit committee isn't in full agreement. It's split, okay? So I think it just goes to the political environment, and I'm here in the interest of education of our local kids, and while I am sensitive to and consider to look at what the state does, I don't bobblehead to the state or the county. I look at what's in the best interest of our schools, and that's the way I'll continue to do it until I'm done with my seat here. Are there any other comments? Anything to say before we close the hearing?
You articulated that.
Anything else? All right, with that, I don't have any other public comment cards. This is a public hearing for public input, so seeing no others, we will close the hearing at 8:57. It's one of the longer public hearings you've
Well, he didn't count the 1 hour. The 1 hour and 10
I told him 20 minutes too, so that's, you know.
An hour and 11 minutes.
It's a good exercise. Yeah.
Okay, so with that, we're going to move back up to 8.4, which is the VHS new construction report. Anything to report?
Yeah, tonight I wanted to, obviously there's a lot of questions about the gymnasium and the opening and when and where, and you know, obviously I want to reiterate that our staff, our construction crew, they're doing a yeoman's task in that we've also completed our job walks and the punch lists, and so we're in the process of closing it out currently. So if I was, you know, and this is always the risk, okay, the risk if I'm going to give you an opening date and when and if and all those things happen, and you know, God willing and the creek don't rise, we think we should be able to open this facility by November 1st. Okay. And what does that mean? That means that also I'm trying to get
here
time.
Here we go again, Doctor.
I know.
Here come the phone calls.
You wanted a date, I'm going to give you a date. But remember, I also need to give Ty and his staff time to move in. Just because we get the facility, I still need to, you know, populate the facility and make sure it's ready and make sure the lunch staff is there and the on and on and on. So, you know, worst case scenario should be November 15th. I'm going to say best case scenario should be around November 1st. Now, in order to mitigate some of the concerns around our volleyball teams and things like that, Ty has set up an alumni game in there for the girls to play and some subsequent matches so they can play. And I understand that's a concern for the senior girls that wanted to play volleyball in that gym. We're going to try to do the best we can to give them a couple games. And, you know, even though if they make playoffs, great, then maybe we can have a playoff game there. And I'm not sure if that timing will work out yet or not. But, you know, we still have some fire alarm issues. We have some parts that are, you know, on the way back from Virginia and et cetera, et cetera. So we're in the process. We're closing it out as fast as we can. I think we've closed out a majority of the project to include, I don't know if you've noticed, we put in the pipe rail at the bottom. We've got the bollards in. We've got everything. We may be able to start within about 10 days from now, start using the Escondido entrance. That's our goal. We'll open that up and close the upper pad. Everyone will then park in the front of the school. So that's now a new access. We'll use the upper pad for athletic events and athletic facilities, things like that. But then, obviously, we're going to close that secondary access.
The upper pad, you're referring to the parking lot.
That's correct.
I thought that was going to be student parking in the front of the school. It's going to be teacher parking.
No. There's student parking in front and a separate parking lot for teachers.
And so, therefore, the upper, what would now become the upper lot, is exclusively during athletic events?
That's correct. Yeah, we got plenty of parking for all students. The design was, it's always best interest to get the staff away from the students and park in a different lot. We have a separate parking lot for staff. And then we have a separate parking lot for students. So we have plenty of parking. We think in about 10 days we're going to reorganize that and have all kids. The drop-off, ingress, egress will be done. Everything should be finished. And then we'll utilize both parking lots when we have a football game. And you see them parking in the bushes and all over the place where they park. So we're going to try to eliminate that and then use both parking lots. We have plenty of parking now. So that should happen in about 10 days. A couple 10 days after that, we should be able to open the gym and get everything going. So that's my best guess. Hope to God I don't get held to it. So.
You know, it's the volleyball, I mean, I've heard the complaints too, and it's got to be done right. There's one shot.
Yep.
And Lord knows, I'm 20 years in making, it's got to be done right.
Yes.
I think that one of the areas that's suffering is PE, because there's no locker room.
No doubt about it.
Kids aren't doing PE. There's 70 kids crammed in a room, and I hear about firsthand.
That's a very valid concern.
I know.
Yes.
So as soon as we can get PE back to PE, I never thought I'd heard my kid want to say they want to dress out. But if it's dress out and be outside for an hour versus 70 kids in the classroom with a PE teacher giving them quizzes on PE.
Yeah.
Now I'm, you know, dressing out something.
No doubt about that.
You look at your kid and you say it's called character development.
Yeah, that's what I told him. He's strong.
And just keep in mind, Ty is planning, and he and I are trying to figure out a date to have a grand opening, if you will, of that facility. It may be short notice, simply because we want to get it quick and get it going. We'll let Lillian know, and PR machine will get going as fast as we can. We've got some tentative dates, but boy, I'll tell you, it's a moving target right now, and I wouldn't want to have a scheduled date, and then obviously I'm not ready to take it over yet. So we're working on it, and I'll give you some information as soon as I am ready to release that. That's all I have on new constructions. Okay, I've got a few things. If you bear with me just real quickly, I'll go through them. First and foremost, let me read a letter from you from Ty. I think it's important to acknowledge Ty and his staff. Recently, we had a football game, and let me just read the letter. This is to a group at the principal at Rosemond High School. It's always tragic to lose someone in our life, even so more so when the person is young. Our high school had its share of losses, and when we heard about the McCade boy from Rosemond, we wanted to help in any way we could. Enclosed, you will find a cashier's check in the amount of $250 to be used to subsidize funeral expenses for the McCade family. These family or the funds were raised at a football game versus Roseman on September 9, 2016. On behalf of the Vasquez family, our hearts extend to the McCade family and the Roseman community. Again, I want to commend you and your staff for doing that and thinking of the Roseman community and sharing in that and partnering with those families. I think that went a long way. It isn't about the money. It's about the volunteer, the time, and the proceeds from that game. They were able to donate $250 to the McCade family, which is obviously in Roseman. It's not in our community, but we played them that night. It was after a short tragedy, and again, I appreciate you and your staff acknowledging that family and really reaching out to them. Thank you again, and if you would convey my appreciation, thank you. Secondly, I wanted to bring to your attention there's a district calendar issue. So if you can pass those around, I'm going to quickly brief you on that. Not major, just a few typos. Just a typo, if you will, and I just there's no approval, nothing necessary. We want to bring to your attention on the first page in January. You will notice you have two calendars. One is the 2017, which is the approved calendar. We had a typo there where you see in January of 2018, the month ends on the 31st, which is a Wednesday, and then begins in February on the 1st, which is also a Wednesday. Can't happen. So if you kick it down a day, you'll also see now that gap there, which is after the 28th of February, is now filled because it moves over one slot. So that's really all it was. It kicked one day to the right. The revised calendar will be up on the website. It will be taken care of. We had just a slight omission there.
Just February in 2018 is one day off.
One day off.
January 2018 is fine, and March of 2018 is fine. And
that's correct.
Okay, and it's a year and a half now. Most people probably haven't looked at it.
We're going to publish this. We're going to put it out, make sure everyone's aware. You know, it's obviously our mistake, and we wanted to correct it publicly, give it to everyone and let them know. It will be on there. Any questions?
Unfortunately, there are two holidays in February where those dates are off.
Yes.
So, really, the parents simply need to know the adjustment on those two dates.
Correct.
So, they're not surprised when the holiday falls on a different day.
Well, the President's Day is the 16th now, and the 9th and the 19th instead of the 17th and the 20th.
So, really, that's the key.
It is.
To the calendar.
Yeah. We're going to be identifying that again. Let me. Any other questions on the counter? Okay. So, and I agree with you, Mr. DeSasso. I think the best thing about it is, and again, I want to state part two of this is I don't know if you've seen the website yet lately, but let me tell you honestly, I think it's fantastic. It's absolutely phenomenal, and I have to commend my secretary or my executive assistant. Yolanda took charge of that. And basically, I don't know if you were aware. What I've done is, let me get there. Okay. We took on the task in my office to do all PR and try to reorganize what we do as a district and making sure we have good communication. Obviously, that fell in many respects to Yolanda. Even though I give her stuff and here, do this, here, do that, here, you know, she's the one that actually does all the work. So I can't tell you how much, again, I appreciate you doing that. Many people had their hands in this. She's the one that made it happen. Many people made advice and put in this and that and put it all together. We're not there yet. You can see there's still some blank holes. There's still some things that need to be populated. But our intent is to provide information that's accurate and timely. We've created a blog where we now have a running blog. We have all types of things that we've added in addition to. And the greatest thing that I love about it, and you'll begin to kind of see, hopefully you'll use it as much as I'm starting to look at, we have an app. It'll be a district-wide app. We hope to eventually be able to enroll out of that app. We hope to do a variety of different exercises in the district. We're becoming pretty high-tech as it relates to that. For the first time, we have an app, and it's under AADUSD in the App Store. And it's not a purchase. It's for free. You can see your student scores. You can see their grades, their attendance. You'll be able to see everything you want on the app. You'll get timely notifications. It'll pop up if you set your notifications and who you want to be notified from, etc. If we have an emergency, we can obviously put a one shot out from that, and you'll be notified through the app. We're hopeful that every parent in the district will obviously utilize the app. We're going to start advertising that. We just finished the work on that app. And again, this is something that Yolanda has taken on and done one whale of a job on it. It's still, there's bugs, as you can imagine. It's brand new for us. We haven't done this. But that's one of our efforts that and goals that we're doing this year. I'd encourage you to take a look at that. We may be able to kind of adjust it a little bit in terms of the search, but I had a hard time finding the app, was why I wanted to kind of tell you where to find that app. You can't say ACT in Aguadosa. You got to say AADUSD. For now, we're going to expand that here shortly. In the meantime, again, Caesar and Alex, obviously the three of these folks sat together for hours taking all of the information we heaped on top of them. And they're the ones that kind of put it all together. So, again, we appreciate your time and effort for doing that. Yeah. So, if you will, each of the principals also put a ton of time in it. Take a look at their sites as well. For the first time, we have aligned websites. Everything's the same. Same formats, same ideas, same thing. It all connects and disconnects back and forth. And so, again, take a look at it. Any recommendations, we're wide open. Okay? We want to get out information. We want it to be timely. We want it to look great. Took some great pictures. Crystal took the pictures. She's not here today. I walked her around and even took her up on the roof, and we did all, and she had a great time. But you can see some of the pictures she's taken. They're phenomenal. Honestly, I tried to pay her. I said, it took a ton of time. She refused money. I gotta commend Crystal for helping out, taking all those pictures. So you can see the pictures are phenomenal. So let's see. I had one more thing, if you would. I feel compelled to say this. Probably not has anything to do with this district. But one of the things I wanted to recommend tonight is that we adjourn the meeting in the name of Sergeant Owens of LASO. That gentleman was a friend of mine for 20 years and one of the best men I've known in many years. He's a school deputy. He's been around schools for generations and in fact impacted many, many students. A personal friend of mine, and I'm going to tell you, it's a great loss for the community of Antelope Valley. He's even served some time out here and done some things with us. But again, I wanted to, my heart goes out to the family, and it's a great loss for me personally. Sergeant Owen was a personal friend of mine. So again, I'd like to recommend we do that. That's all I have.
Board member comments, Mr. Fox.
It's just a website, but it's beautiful, and it's not just a website, because nowadays the first impression anyone gets about anything is usually their website.
Yep, correct. And,
if somebody's thinking of moving to the area or wondering about the next school their kid might go to, they go to the website. I went to the website and I was blown away by what a good job you did. And I think it's just one more, it's emblematic of the step up I just want to welcome back staff from your summers, and I think the staff's not here, but maybe it gets back to them. We had a really the teachers aren't here, some of the staff. We had a really good year last year. I don't think anybody would really refute that, whether it's the opening of the school or all the deferred maintenance that was done up at High Desert, and I think we're on. Or whether it was our AP performance or there, by any metric, I think we really had a good year last year. And that's you guys, and I look forward to another good year this year. Certainly with a lot of progress at Acton School, everybody forgets about that one, but Acton School's coming back, and there's a lot of progress there. And with the STEAM rollout, I think we all received Larry Boland's letter, and there was. I respect
Mr. Roland tremendously, and for him to be moved to the extent he was, I've never seen a letter like that from him before. Says that, you know, we are all doing something right for the kids. So he's a tremendous educator. So, anyway, welcome back, and welcome to the new staff out there. I hope we have a lot of teachers from around the world with. I hope they enjoy working here.
I want to agree with Mike regarding Larry's letter. I was very happy to read that, and it was, I think, great that they published in the journal. Thank you, William, for publishing it. And one thing I just wanted to put the report out on, I know this is something we've already done, and it has to do with the calendar that we changed to basically start a week earlier this year, coming year, and then a week following year. I remember that we took a survey that we had, I guess, 59% of people that wanted to keep it the same, and 39% that wanted to to change it to what we're changing it to. And I think that the staff and the teachers had some very good points why it should be changed. I wanted to just report that to the board that at places like the fair, the Will City Fair, and several other commons just around town, hardware store and all that. From where I live in Abadulsa, I haven't heard a positive thing from anyone in regard to it. I have heard quite a few negative things about it. So just give me a heads up about that. And you know, for a long time I didn't support it. And it is what it is now. We're making a change, but I'm hearing a lot of negative about that. I just want to say that to the board. The other thing I wanted to bring up is completely opposite of that. It's a very big positive, is that I've heard a lot about the gym and about the campus. I just hear about that, Dr. Woodard, and on the board. I hear about that all the time. And my hat is off to you for your efforts in that regard. I think you've done a great job, not only in expediting the project, but also in the acquisition of the matching fund. So thank you very much for that. That's it, Mr. President.
Larry?
Yeah. Sometimes naysayers are louder than positive comment.
I agree with
people. I agree with Brent that we should do something, moment of silence or something, on Sergeant Stephen. Owen, I personally spent in excess of 4 hours watching the celebration of his life today, and that's not counting a lot of the driving up and back that was on the TV, on all the channels, or most of them, I should say, definitely on ABC. And I think the only time that I have seen a celebration of life with that many dignitaries and that many things to be said, good things to be said about a person, was when it involved a president's death. And I learned a lot about that man on the TV and what everybody said. And I don't know how many other people saw it, but it brought a lot of people to tears, rightfully so. So I would agree with you that we should do whatever it is that you think is proper here.
I requested that we adjourn the meeting in his name or whatever you feel is appropriate. But
okay, maybe a moment of silence before when we
whatever you prefer. Absolutely, yes, sir.
Okay, in the interest of transparency and disclosure, some members of the district staff will be meeting with the Southern California Regional Director of the High Speed Rail Authority and her staff on October 18th to address present material to the Rail Authority about what we feel is critical that they address in their pending EIR. And we'll report out on that once that meeting is held. The district continues to maintain vigilance over that project to try and mitigate the potential for extreme damage to our community if it's not done correctly. Mike mentioned the letter from Mr. Rowland. Anyone who has not read that letter, I think, should read that letter. I believe it succinctly summarizes the district's efforts and a lot of the progress that we've made. Mr. Rowland is a very quiet individual, and so for him to write a letter, to speak out, to say hello, is a big deal. And so I think it does go it's a good bellwether to measure the effectiveness of our programs. So I invite everyone to read the letter. I have attended each of the PTO and or booster meetings since the new school year began. Generally speaking, I haven't heard any concerns, negativity. Everybody appears to be excited. A lot of impact here at this school. I was nervous about the whole issue of the library and the teacher's lounge and what have you. But at least from the feedback I'm getting, the parents are pleased as punch that we're at 1 to 27 or 1 to 28. And oftentimes, I think it's 1 to 27 in some cases.
Sometimes.
So they're...
It's lower.
They're very pleased about that. And they know that relief is coming. So obviously they have a tremendous amount of questions about Acton School, but there appears to be very positive air at the booster meetings. And as I've done before, I want to thank each of the principals for attending those meetings. I know it's much appreciated by the parents when that occurs. We know that we're making progress. Especially as it applies to the middle school, because our Einstein Charter parents are beginning to take note and are beginning to have discussions amongst themselves as to where they go next. And it's been a long time since they've considered our district a viable option. And, you know, whether they end up coming or not is another question. I just celebrate the fact that we're in the discussion. So that's positive. And lastly, I think it is safe to say that the Wicked Witch of the East is dead. All vestiges of the old high school, with the consternation that it has caused over the years, I consider it dead and buried. That upper pad is clean. The baseball field remains and the football field remains. But those were two of the positive things about our school that were there even when we were suffering through those dark years of Trailer Trash High and everything else. So unless I'm mistaken, and there might still be a Connex box here and there somewhere.
There's a couple, and that's it.
Yeah, but the fact is the old school is dead and buried. And we now have this bright new school and a very decent developing program within that school. So congratulations to everyone. It's been a lot of, I know it's put another 10 years on my life, I'm sure.
I'll double your 10, raise you 5.
So when I die before I'm 105, because that's when I was supposed to live, if I die before then, it's because of that high school. I'm just letting you know that. So, Lillian, if you're still doing the paper, I want to make sure that you quote me on that when you're writing about my passing.
Okay.
Yeah. It has taken years off of my life, and that may go for others as well.
But, what about your bullet train, though?
The bullet train.
That's next.
I don't know.
You're going to hold the line.
I don't know. I think I'm already owing time now. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
You're in the hole.
But anyway, it's a bright day that all those vestiges of the old high school are gone. I was waiting to see that last portable building being taken away. So congrats to everybody. All right, we're going to move to 9.0 consent agenda. Do we have a move?
I'll second.
Call the question.
Aye.
Aye. Personnel Services 10.1 Personnel Action Report. Do we have a move? Second?
I'll second.
Larry Layton seconded. Call the question.
Aye.
Aye. Educational and Student Services 11.1 Public Hearing on Sufficiency or Inefficiency of Instructional Materials. We will open the hearing at 9:25. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak to either the efficiency or inefficiency of instructional materials? I see none. We'll go ahead and close the hearing at 9:25. 11.2, Resolution 16-17.04 regarding the sufficiency or inefficiency of instructional materials. Do we have a move?
So second.
Any discussion on the part of staff and the board?
No real discussion other than if you'll note in the resolution, it does indicate that we do have sufficiency, and we've actually increased that by making sure that students have a two sets of books, one at home, one at school, so they don't have to pack them back and forth. So we're trying to, obviously make sure that happens. But we are sufficient across the board, and this was out of the Williams Act and trying to see some of that. So, yes.
I agree with that, because you don't need two sets to be sufficient. Will we be getting
more statistic books at some point? Yeah, I have a whole list here, Mike, that I'm looking through, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it, but it gets kind of convoluted. So, yes, there's several different texts that we'll be purchasing. Even though it's not in the cycle, we know we're short. Even though we're still sufficient, you're correct. We are improving constantly, and I have several that he's already provided to me. We're ordering. Okay.
Always good to be better than sufficient.
It's near
when you get looked at, your employer says, "Well, you're sufficient." Something wrong with that.
With a picture of the textbook, and said, "Help me with homework," and my eyes aren't.
We're also doing chemistry. We're also doing, so there's quite a few titles. I was going to talk about it, but it gets convoluted. Just know we're taking care of it.
Does the board want to hear that conversation?
I don't think so. All right. I can get into ISBN numbers, whatever you want.
Call a question.
Aye.
11.3, public hearing, 2015-16 library book selection. Going to open the hearing at 9:27. Are there any members of the public that want to discuss library book selections? Seeing none, we'll close the hearing at 9:27 and move to 11.4, 2015-16 library book selections. This is for the board to take a action via vote to approve those book selections. Do we have a move?
I'll move it. Second.
Any discussion on the part of staff before?
Just a brief comment, if you will, on this particular item. If you remember, I asked Ty to go through this process. Any books that we bring into the district, I want the community to have an opportunity to review. All titles were posted on the internet. They were available at the school site. All parents had an opportunity to review those titles, read them, look at them, everything. And then obviously we wanted to have a hearing and an opportunity to specifically talk about any kind of titles that we bring into the community. Obviously, you see there weren't any comments, but it doesn't matter. We want to still continue to follow that process. So thank you to Cassandra, and thank you to Kim put that together. But at this point in time, we'd like to recommend that we approve that list to make available to our students.
Board comments? None? Call the question?
Aye.
Aye. 12.2. Approval of allowance of attendance because of an emergency condition. Do we have a move?
I'll move it.
Second.
Superintendent, if you would quickly recap
why we're
doing this.
If you will recall, there was a mainline pipe break here at Metalark, and I ended up closing school for a day. I asked Steve to put together this form that basically there's a waiver, and we don't lose ADA on that. And so this is needs board approval, and we'll file that waiver. And therefore, we won't lose any ADA on this if approved.
the board? Call a question?
Aye.
Aye, so approved. 12.3, quarterly report on uniform complaints for 16-17. Do we have a move?
Move.
I'll second.
And this is a typical report that we do regarding the Williams lawsuit settlement.
No action necessary, just you can see obviously there the report that goes with it, just so that you've been aware of the report we'll be filing.
Any comments by the board in regard to the report?
So no complaints.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, call question?
Aye.
Aye. Future agenda items. We have anything pending? Gentlemen?
No.
Okay, staff, anything that we need to address regarding future agenda items?
I don't think so. No, sir.
14.0 calendar. Our next meeting is October 27th. May I remind the board that I will be handling family matters in Las Vegas in October 27th. Horrible venue, but somebody's got to do it. So I will not be present for the October 27th meeting. So if for some reason we're not going to have a three-person quorum, we need to make sure that we give the superintendent significant advance notice so he can cancel or reschedule.
Please.
Whatever the case may be. And then November 10th will be the meeting after that. So we're going to move to 15.0 closed session. I'm going to draw your attention to E, a scheduled matter for a scheduled discussion for a student matter. That item was pulled from the agenda because documentation wasn't ready for that discussion to be had. So the superintendent pulled it when we approved the agenda at the beginning of our meeting at 6:30. 15.1, report of action taken in closed session. We took no action, so there's nothing to report out on. And prior to adjournment, I want to announce that we are going to dedicate this meeting to Sergeant Owen, the LASO, who lost his life in the line of duty. And if we would all stand for a moment of silence in his memory. Thank you. Godspeed to his family and to the Sheriff's Department. 16.0 adjournment.
Move.
We have a move. That's right. That board is second. To adjourn, call a question.
Aye.
We're so adjourned at 9:32.